The message this morning is brought to us by Pastor Joel Rolfe, Dean of Association Free Lutheran Bible School, Minneapolis.
For our message today, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll look at verses 22 to 33. And considering the theme today, trusting Jesus through the storms of life, would you stand in reverence for God's word as we read Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 to 33, where we read, "And immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, 'Behold, it's a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'You are certainly God's son.'" Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this, your word. We pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open this word to our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see you today as the great I am, the King of love, our Savior and Shepherd. Oh, Lord, open our hearts to receive this word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Sometimes people ask the question, is God good even in the most painful times of life? Is God good even in the most painful times of life? A testimony of George Mueller, 19th century British orphanage founder, is a great encouragement to us in this regard. On February 6th of 1870, George Mueller's wife, Mary, died of rheumatic fever. They had been married 39 years in 4 months. He was 64 years old. And shortly after the funeral, he was strong enough to preach a funeral sermon, as he called it. So what text would he choose when God had taken his beloved wife? He chose Psalm 119, verse 68, which says of God, "God, you are good, and what you do is good." And the 3 points of his message were these: the Lord was good and did good in giving her to me. The Lord was good and did good in so long leaving her to me. And thirdly, the Lord was good and did good in taking her from me. Under this third point, he recounts how he prayed for her during her illness. And I quote, "Yes, my Father, the times of my darling wife are in thy hands. Thou wilt do the very best thing for her and for me, whether life or death. If it may be, raise up yet again my precious wife. you are able to do it, though she is so ill. But however you deal with me, only help me to be perfectly satisfied with thy holy will." End quote. What a testimony to the goodness of God. In the most painful time of life, every one of us here today has or will experience times of trial and sorrow in one way, shape, or form. But the wonderful and important thing to remember in all of these times is that nothing of God changes when the situations of our life change. Nothing of God changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Hebrews 13 tells us. And he says, "I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that you may confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.'" And our text here describes today in a beautiful way how Jesus comes to us in our needs, and how he cares about our calamities. And he speaks to us in our needs, and he invites us to trust him in the storms of life. And as we look at this text and the context, we see that this was just after the feeding of the 5,000 men, women, and children with the boys' lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the people had eaten and were filled, and the disciples gathered up 12 baskets of the leftovers of food. And from the parallel passage in John 6, verse 14 and 15, we read that when the people saw the sign which Jesus had performed, they said, "This is of a truth the Messiah who is to come into the world." And Jesus, therefore, perceiving that they were intending to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. And this helps us understand the details here of that were given in Matthew's gospel when it says that immediately Jesus had his disciples get into a boat as these people were going seeking to make him king. He didn't want to have his disciples get mixed up in that. And he sent them ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away and went up on the mountain to pray. The people here were about to come and take him by force. But Jesus had a plan. As he went up to the mountain to pray, he desired to have this time alone with the Heavenly Father, to praise him. He often went to quiet places to pray, to commune with the Father. Not only did he pray for himself, and the prayers recorded of Christ give abundant evidences that he prayed for others also. In all the pressures Jesus faced, he was resolved to do the Father's will. And as the burdens grew greater, so the need for prayer and dependence on the Father. And as we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, before Christ was crucified. Friends, if Jesus felt such a need for prayer, how much you and I, in our great needs. Friends, is that your first response in the trials and the storms of life? Come to Jesus in prayer. You seek Jesus first. It was such a blessing this morning to gather with a number over prayer today, to pray for the needs in the community, to pray for the service, to pray for the Spirit of God, to be working freely in each of our hearts and lives today in these opportunities. We need Jesus always. And what a blessing when we can gather to pray, to seek the face of Jesus together. Spending time with God in prayer nurtures a vital relationship and equips us to meet life's challenges and struggles. It's good for us to develop this discipline, spending time alone with God. Well, friends, notice here, first of all, that spending time in prayer helps us see Jesus in the storms of life. In verse 24 here, the disciples at this point were many stadia away from land. A stadia is about 600 feet, or about an eighth of a mile. And John's Gospel tells us they were about 25 to 30 stadia, about 3 to 4 miles out. And all the way across was 5 miles. So they were still a fair distance from the other side to where they were headed. And we read that the winds were contrary. They were straining at the oars. But notice here, secondly, that when they couldn't see Jesus, Jesus saw them. You know, sometimes in our life, the strain and the pressures of our situations can seem so overwhelming. But Jesus always sees what you're going through, and he is inviting you into his presence to pray. In verse 25, it says, in the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the sea. In the hour of our greatest need, Jesus comes to us. He sees how the winds and the waves are beating at us. He knows when life is a struggle. And no sooner had this need arisen and the disciples were at the end of their rope and Jesus was there to save them, to help them in their need. In life, the wind is often against us. There are times when we're up against it and when life is a desperate struggle with ourselves or with our circumstances or with our temptations or with our health or with our sorrows, with our decisions. And at such times in our life, we do not have to struggle alone because Jesus sees us and he comes to us across the storms of life, right to where we are. Right to where we are. And with his hands outstretched to save, with his calm, clear voice, he says to them, "It is I. Be of good courage. Do not be afraid." That's a powerful statement. Verse 27. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do you recognize Jesus' voice when he says this to you today? The power of this statement is that little phrase, "It is I." The Greek word is ego eimi, I am. It's the trademark name of God himself that he gave to Moses. I am that I am has sent me to you. It's how Jesus encouraged his disciples and others many times. As he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the good shepherd. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus comes to you and me, and he simply says, "I am." Because he's eternal. He doesn't say, "I was," or "I will be." I am. I am all you need. It's all summarized in this wonderful declaration. And because Jesus is the great I am, these other two phrases are so powerful too. When Jesus says, take courage, do not be afraid, I am. I am all you need, always. Friends, Jesus does not want us to live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind to trust Him. And immediately here, Jesus, as He comes to His struggling disciples, He says, I am. Take courage. Do not be afraid. Some of you maybe remember when you were a child becoming frightened in a storm and lightning and thunder, winds blowing. Maybe a crack of thunder outside your window and you came running to mom and dad. Or you had a nightmare or a bad dream and woke up with a start and troubled. And your mom or dad held you close and said, it's okay. I'm here. It's okay. It's a small picture. But how Jesus invites us to come to Him. To know He's just as real, just as present. To calm our troubled hearts. To meet us in our need. He says, I am. Do not be afraid. I am the bread of life, the light of the world. I am the true vine. In Isaiah 41:4, God said, I am the Lord, the first and the last. I am He. In Isaiah 43:3, God says, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Friends, it is this Savior who came to the disciples that night, who comes to you in the troubles of life, and He says to you, I'm all that you need. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. In Jesus we have eternal life. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When Jesus says, I am to you, He is all this and more. He is all that we need. And Jesus wants us to simply, completely trust Him with every situation of life, with all of life. When Peter heard Jesus say these two words, I am, he knew at once it was Jesus. And he said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out of the boat and walk on the water. And he came toward Jesus. Peter wanted to be with Jesus. And so he actually got out of the boat. That wouldn't have been me. I don't swim. I think I would have been pretty hesitant to volunteer there. But Peter is to be commended because he wanted to be with Jesus. And even when he saw the wind and became afraid and began to sink, he simply cried out, Lord, save me, help me. And Jesus immediately stretched out His hand and took hold of him. When the disciples were frightened, He immediately spoke, "It is I. Do not be afraid." F.B. Meyer has a good comment on this. He said, "God often uses the element we dread as the path for his approach. The waves were endangering the boat, but Jesus walked on them. In our lives are circumstances that we dread, but it's through these that the greatest blessings of our lives will come if we will look through them to Christ." End quote. And that is really the key. If we will look through our circumstances to Christ, looking to Jesus. When Jesus says, "I am," what does this mean to you? God would seek to strengthen and encourage your faith to realize that in Jesus is all you will ever need for this life and for eternity. And when you read and study all the I ams of Scripture, they are another facet of this magnificent, huge diamond of who God is. He is the great I am. As we conclude here today, some of you are going through great trial and struggle, this congregation. Others in this community have lost loved ones, going through tough medical things, and a lot of situations that are really hard. But in the most difficult things of life, we have a faithful God, a faithful Savior, who invites us to trust Him, who says to you and me, in the storms of life, who comes to us and He says, "I am. Take courage. Do not be afraid. Whatever you're facing, Jesus is faithful. And He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." For this life and for all eternity, we have this faithful Savior who has given His life for us. And if He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? He cares for you. He invites us to trust Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, for the hope, and how You come to us in the storms of life, that You never leave us or forsake us, that we can know and confidently say that You're our helper. I pray for Your continued strength and encouragement here, Pastor Finstrom and the ministry here, and Chris, and for each member and friend in the congregation. Lord, that Your presence would be especially near to each one. Thank You, Lord, for how You are with us always. You are our hope. You are our rock. You are our strength always. Continue to go before us, trusting You every day that You give us. We praise You that You are such a great God. Savior. Amen.